Welcome to the Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Wellness Center, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to health care. I'm Lisa Prather. Good morning, Dr. Prather.
Good morning, Lisa.
Well, today's show, we're going to be talking about heart disease. And heart disease, is it true it's the number one killer here in the United States?
It is absolutely the number one killer in the United States. Matter of fact, it accounts for one out of every four deaths every year.
Wow.
So if you can get your risk of death really decreased quite dramatically, your risk of disability decreased quite dramatically, if you can keep your heart and your arteries healthy.
Yeah, it says, according to the American Heart Association, all cardiovascular diseases together were projected to cost $444 billion.
And that's billion?
That's billion. And that was in 2010. So, and that's including healthcare services, medication, lost productivity. Today we're going to talk about the structure-function approach to heart disease. And some of the risk factors. And now, what encompasses, you know, heart disease?
Well, one of the biggest things, of course, is the heart attack. That's the one that everybody is aware of. And a heart attack can be a very sudden type of an event. It is the number one killer for people with cardiovascular disease. But you're also talking about congestive heart failure. You're talking about stroke is also included into that. And other diseases of the heart and vessels. So it encompasses quite a few different types of things, but if you think of the heart and the circulatory system, then that pretty well covers what you would consider the cardiovascular disease.
Well, let's talk about the different, what would you call them, subcategories?
Subcategories of that? Sure.
Sure, like the first, coronary artery disease. What is coronary artery disease?
Well, that's where you start to get some plaque buildup. That's the whole thing about the cholesterol. The federal government actually recognized that this was the number one killer. And one of the big indicators for that is high cholesterol.
Okay.
So if you have some cholesterol problems, then that can actually help to lead to a lot of the blockage in the arteries, lead to further problems. So they started a campaign to watch your cholesterol, made it very clear for doctors to really get on it, get on the bandwagon. And they actually did a very good job. A lot of people are very aware of cholesterol. I know when I first started in practice, nobody even knew what cholesterol was.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that I was very interested in. So they've done a campaign to make people aware of their cholesterol and the importance of it in the treatment of heart disease. One of the things is that I do believe that they actually have a lot of their information wrong.
Mm-hmm. I know we've done a show on cholesterol. It's one of our most popular shows.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be something to, you know, be looking into, but we believe that cholesterol is more of a symptom than actually a disease process in itself. So actually looking at the underlying cause is more of an effective way of actually dealing with the cholesterol than treating it directly with a statin. Now, there are definite times that statins are necessary and helpful, but it should always be treated also in a structure-function way so that you can get the original problem under control instead of worrying about the symptom of cholesterol.
So you're saying it's kind of looked at as a disease.
As a disease.
And you don't agree with that.
I do not actually agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is you have damage to the arteries, and one of the things is cholesterol is very important, is getting out there and actually healing damaged areas. So what the body does is it actually lays down a blanket of cholesterol just to kind of protect a damaged artery. So if they can do some work on getting the healing done, then you don't have to actually worry about that.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Well, let's talk about another area of heart disease, congestive heart failure.
Congestive heart failure is a very interesting type of a disease. The heart actually goes into some hypoxia. There's some nutritional deficiencies that are definitely involved in congestive heart failure. But if you don't get normal aerobic exercise into the heart, then the heart is actually does not get enough oxygenation. When the heart actually pumps, it oxygenates and gets nutrition to the rest of the body. The way that the heart actually gets that is when the heart goes into relaxation, then you actually relax, then you actually get the blood to the heart. And the heart, to actually get enough blood to it, has to be doing aerobic exercise. If you are not doing enough aerobic exercise, then there's actually an oxygen debt that starts to occur and the heart starts to break down. One of the main problems is, though, once you're into congestive heart failure, it's very hard to do aerobic exercise because you can hardly breathe.
Right.
So there's a real problem on that, and there are some very nice solutions along those lines. And working with that is one of the things that we do here at the Prather Wellness Center. One, to get the nutrition up, and ways to actually get the aerobic exercise up so that people can do it in a manner that is actually very productive. Because aerobic exercise is one of the basic ways that you can actually heal up the heart.
And we're going to be talking about the structure function treatment for heart disease. Let's talk about another subcategory, heart arrhythmia.
Yes, and that usually has to do with some mineral imbalances. One of the things that can, one of the common ways that men actually die from heart attacks and different problems with heart is low magnesium. The minerals are very, very important along those lines. I've had men come in, and as soon as they did the lab tests, they found extremely low minerals. Called me, and we immediately got them going on some minerals to try to get them from having a heart attack at any moment.
Is that when you hear, someone so-and-so is playing tennis?
And then they just fall over there, right?
Golf course.
Or on the golf course. Mm-hmm. Usually that has to do, not necessarily that they had a lipid, plaque buildup, but they actually had a spasm of one of the arteries due to the low minerals, because that's a very important aspect of the whole thing. The minerals keep that, and you can have a spasm of an artery, even a spasm of the heart, and that can actually kill you right there. So keeping your minerals balanced is very important.
Okay. And another subcategory is cardiomyopathy. Can you explain that?
Cardiomyopathy is where you actually have some damage to the heart. Usually it's caused by a virus that will actually get in there and cause a breakdown of the heart tissue itself. Most common cause of cardiomyopathy is the Coxsackie virus. And there are some very good nutritional ways to actually approach that to help that out and can have some very long-lasting effects.
So what, who is at risk for heart disease?
Well, as one gets older, the more likely you are to develop heart disease. One of the things is it used to be men who were mainly responsible for the vast number of heart diseases. But as women have gotten out into the workforce, also as women have taken up smoking about at the same rate as men, that rate of heart disease is actually pretty well balanced out. The other thing is that there's actually a racial aspect to heart disease. When you're actually Asian, there's actually a less chance for heart disease. The highest rate of heart disease is actually in Native American.
Oh, wow.
Also, the black population is much more likely to die of cardiovascular disease than whites. So there does seem to be some definite racial tendencies along those lines. Also, if you're overweight, that will certainly raise up your chances of having cardiovascular disease. So keeping your weight under control, diabetes, type 1 and type 2, raises up your chance, because the insulin levels actually plays a very big role on cardiovascular disease.
The minerals, you said?
No, insulin.
Insulin, okay.
So insulin is actually a very big factor And one of the things is there's a very strong feeling that arterial disease can actually occur due to inflammation in the arteries. And insulin is one thing that can certainly increase the inflammatory effects. Insulin, if it is actually properly controlled and is normal in your health and well-being, then it actually has a protective effect. So keeping the sugar down, the simple carbohydrates, has a very big effect on your chances for cardiovascular disease, as well as worrying about your fats.
Why are the elderly more at risk for heart disease, or is that true, or is it affecting now the younger population?
Well, the elderly, of course, everything starts breaking down as we get older. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, the dietary aspects of one's health, you cut down on the amount of exercise you do. So there are ways to actually negate the aging factor. So good diet, exercise, keeping things in homeostasis goes a long way in actually preventing a lot of the effects of what we consider aging in our population. So,
okay. Well, we're talking about heart disease. It's the number one killer in the United States. And this month, we'll be giving away a free 60-minute massage at our relaxing spa at the Prather Wellness Center to one of our Facebook fans. For your chance to win a free massage, enter the random drawing on our Facebook page, which you can find at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather on Indiana's Voice of Freedom, Freedom 95.
Oh, I just don't think he'd understand.
Welcome back to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Wellness Center, the most comprehensive wellness center in the U.S. Today we're giving you, we're talking about an overview of heart disease, and we talked about kind of putting those heart diseases in a subcategory. We just had achy, breaky heart.
Very good.
Right, but we want to talk about how to heal that heart, right?
Absolutely.
And go from achy, breaky to healed. And well.
Do you have a song for that?
No, I couldn't find a song for a healthy heart. If anybody knows any, let us know. But before we go on, I want to tell everybody, give an update. Since we finished our campaign, our new Molly Project campaign, we ended that at the end of March, that we were able to raise $1,000.
Oh, fantastic.
Right, from all the massages that we sold. Every massage we sold in March, $10 went toward the new Molly Project. So between everything we've collected and other people have collected, we're able to ship a container over to some Molly villages over there. We're able to send a drill for drilling water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For a well.
Uh-huh, for a well. And so that's exciting. So we want to thank all our listeners that contributed to that. It's going to a great cause there in Molly. So thank you very much. Well, Dr. Prather, in our first segment, one thing I want to talk about, you know, you said there was a great campaign for cholesterol when you first started practicing. Was that 27 years ago?
Well, we don't have to get personal. But yes.
Uh-huh.
And I was going through school, you know, so about 30 years ago, really people weren't aware even what cholesterol was. And they made this a national awareness type of thing, and it's been very effective.
Mm-hmm. Now, has it helped in decreasing heart disease?
No.
No.
Unfortunately. Now, one of the things that we have had a decrease in heart disease, but they have found that that's basically from people stopping smoking.
Okay. Yeah, which has been another great campaign.
Certainly. And mm-hmm. the reason that the cholesterol reduction hasn't really been effective is that cholesterol is a symptom, not actually a disease. So, you know, if you just reduce the cholesterol, there are times that you need to. There are very specific times. But the vast majority of people, even as they reduce their cholesterol through medication, it doesn't actually change your risk for cardiovascular disease. For heart disease.
Mm.
People still have the same amount, and a lot of that is because the cholesterol was actually produced as a result of the inflammation as a result of that, and we still have the inflammatory condition. So, you know, looking at underlying causes actually makes a much bigger difference.
Mm. So I know we talked a little bit about why are people of certain race at risk for heart disease, how smoking affects.
Mm-hmm.
Now women
are smoking just as much as men.
Yeah.
They've increased their heart disease risk to the same level as men.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as we're talking about these things, these are a little bit contrary opinions to the basic medical philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
But, the proof is in the research that's out there on what's going on and having a good understanding of what's happening. So, you know, when we're talking about reducing heart disease, there are actually quite a few different types of factors that go along with that. The cigarette smoking is a huge, huge risk for cardiovascular disease. So, getting the smoking down, if you do smoke, quit. If you've never smoked, don't start, because your chances of increasing chances of cardiovascular disease, also of cancer, increase quite dramatically. There's just absolute total proof on that. That
is not a good thing. Secondhand smoke too.
Well, even secondhand smoke. That's why when I have friends who smoke, mm-hmm. and they get upset that people are telling them what to do, but unfortunately, when you are in the room with someone who is smoking, you get 40% of everything that they smoke,
mm-hmm.
and they've done the studies on that and found that, and that can actually cause a tremendous amount of disease process in people. It creates a lot of toxins in the body. It causes a lot of free radicals. And these things lead to, to early death. And the two biggest killers are contributed by cigarette smoking. So a very important thing to do is to stop smoking. And cigarettes have actually been designed. That's why the cigarette manufacturers had to pay big fines to the government, because they actually tinkered with the cigarettes to make them much more addictive than they normally would. So, they're extremely addictive, so a lot of people need help with the quitting smoking.
Don't they hardly have any tobacco in them?
About 2% tobacco in the average cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
So most of it is ground up cardboard with a whole bunch of chemicals and drugs and other different types of things in there too. They designed them to be addictive so that you can't quit.
Well, let's talk about, how does body weight contribute to heart disease?
When you actually increase your body weight, that increases the amount of blood that your body needs to pump through. It's much harder actually to pump blood through fat than it is muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So you're making your heart work much harder. With the fat, it actually will change your hormones levels, so that if you're actually off on your hormone levels, one, it reduces the muscles in the heart and throughout the body.
Hmm.
And if you go off on your hormones, then the heart actually degenerates. So that makes a very big difference. Well, one of the important things that you need to do for your heart is keep your thyroid balanced. Insulin is a hormone. We had already talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of different hormones that have a huge amount of effect on the heart. And fat percentage actually will change your hormonal level to actually cause some degeneration of the heart. Also, it puts more stress on your glucose, so it increases the insulin. We talked about the stress along those lines. It increases the actual physical stress on the heart, because it has to pump blood through fat instead of muscle, which is much, much harder on you. Also, it causes pH changes in your system that is also bad for your heart. So it's just not a good thing to be overweight.
Now, I know when we have new patients come in, part of the exam that we do here is the bioimpedance testing.
Certainly.
And that tests body fat percentage.
And gives a very accurate measure on that.
Mm-hmm. Which, where it should be.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it is a very important thing to know where you are. For men, they should not be over 25% body fat percentage. Mm-hmm. Anything over that is obesity. 30% for females. As you go over that, that increases your risk for cardiovascular disease. It increases your risk for certain types of cancer. It increases your risk for diabetes. All those things really will shorten your life. So making sure that you have a good body fat percentage is one of the strong indicators on how long you'll live. Mm-hmm. And that is a problem. That's one of the reasons that we've had has sort of counteracted some of the benefit that we've gotten from reducing the amount of cigarette smoking is because people have gotten fatter. And it has become an epidemic. The number of people that are obese back in the 1960s as compared to now, it is four times as great.
Wow.
So, you know, it has become a huge crisis. It didn't used to be that you had kids that were obese. That is becoming a big problem. Hmm. And the majority of Americans at this point are actually obese, and it was a very small percentage that was there before. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have a problem in spite of all the money that's being spent mm-hmm. on weight loss. We're getting fatter and fatter.
Why do you think?
One, the biggest thing is that our diet's changed. Mm-hmm. We have gone to, it used to be mom cooking fresh stuff at home. Mm-hmm. And you didn't have a whole lot of chemicals in there.
Processed
you didn't have
foods.
All the processed foods. You didn't have as much sugar. Now, when you have a whole fast food society, there's preservatives, there's chemicals. The amount of chemicals that we're taking into our system have increased dramatically. Mm-hmm. And fat stores toxins. And if you are toxic, you're going to be fat. And if you're fat, you're going to be toxic. As a matter of fact, one of the things you have to watch as you lose fat percentage is that you have to be careful of not getting sick or from just the toxins that you're getting rid of.
Mm. So just from, detoxing? Is that
from
what
detoxing. Mm-hmm. Detoxing is one of the important things on fat. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to make sure that you have that watched and actually monitored by a doctor to make that really work well.
Okay. Well, let's talk about how exercise and diet affect, you know, contribute to heart disease.
Well, exercise, as I always say, cures a world of sins. Mm-hmm. So, you know, exercise just does wonders. Also, along with that, what you eat is what you are, and that will have a huge effect on your health and well-being.
Well, when we come back, let's talk more about that. And then let's talk about treatments for heart disease, the structure-function approach to heart disease.
Fantastic.
All right. If you have a question for Dr. Prather, go to thevoiceofhealthradio.com to ask your question on our Facebook page and watch Dr. Prather's video answers to your questions. And while you're there, don't forget to enter our contest for this month, where one of our Facebook fans will win a free 60-minute massage. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather on Indiana's Voice of Freedom, Freedom 95. Welcome back to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Wellness Center, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients. Today we're talking about heart disease. And Dr. Prather, our songs have been Achy Breaky Heart and Don't Go Breaking My Heart. And our next song will be a little more upbeat.
A little bit more upbeat instead of
no
breaking.
No pun intended. We're talking about the heart. But before we went to break, we were talking about how diet and exercise affect mm-hmm. Decrease the chances of heart disease. Let's talk about in diet fiber.
Does that surprise you that fiber can actually help with heart disease? What a lot of people are Well, what does that have to do with anything? It just helps me go to the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
constipation actually is a part of heart disease. It actually makes a chemical when you actually ferment, if you're constipated. Mm. There's actually some chemicals that come out that damage the heart. So there's a lot of toxins involved with that. So being constipated actually is bad for your heart.
It's bad for everything.
I know, it's bad for everything. Also, fiber is very good for weight loss. They've done many studies where all they did was increase the role of fiber into the diet and found a huge change. Matter of fact, before World War II, the percentage of dietary fiber was the same as what our percentage of dietary sugar is now, and the two actually reversed.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, fiber needs to be something that we consciously think about, getting a higher amount into our diet, and that will help you to, one, lose weight. It cuts down on constipation. It's very good for colon cancer. So fiber is something that helps out in a whole lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
So,
when we think of fiber, what kind of foods are you thinking of?
Well, if you're eating a lot
more
vegetables.
It's more than just prunes, right?
Right. Well, I mean, prunes are great, but a lot of fresh vegetables is something that people would get fiber from. Whole grains, as opposed to refined grains, makes a very, very big difference. So, you know, heading along those lines is very, very helpful. So,
yeah, well, let's talk about sodium intake.
Ah, yes. And that brings up a relationship between the kidneys and the heart. And a lot of people don't realize that if you have damaged kidneys, then you're probably going to start to damage your heart. Mm-hmm. So a good functioning kidneys actually plays a role in heart disease. If you have kidney problems, 70% of all high blood pressure actually comes from the kidneys.
Wow.
So one of the things is not only as you come into the Prather Wellness Center that we evaluate your heart to see how it's doing, but we also take a good look at your kidneys to see how they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You can there's something called glomerular filtration rate that is figured from different blood tests in your blood panel. And that will actually show up your biological age of your kidneys, which has a direct result on heart disease because of its controlling of blood pressure. So if the kidneys start to back up, then the heart has to work harder, and we start to have more problems along those lines. And one of the things is regular table salt is extremely acidic and was actually first used more in an industrial type of way. Until you're talking about World War II and after that. Before that, people used to get their salt from the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a totally different type of chemical mixture. If
the
you actually
table
get
salt.
The table salt that we have nowadays as opposed to sea salt. And sea salt actually is extremely alkaline and will actually help kidney function. Whereas table salt actually will put is extremely acidic, among other chemical types of differences in it. And it's very hard on the kidneys, so salt will actually raise up blood pressure. But we've actually given told people who were supposed to be off salt to put them on sea salt, real sea salt, and had quite a bit of reversal in their health of their kidneys.
Yeah, some people
and reduction of blood pressure.
Sea salt is like all other salt.
Right.
But isn't it full of minerals?
Well, it has the balance of minerals that people actually need. It's it's a very healthy type of way of doing it. It helps with the kidney function. It helps with actually hormones. It's high in all the minerals in a perfect balance. Because the fluid in our body is actually very similar to the mineral content in our body is almost perfectly with salt water.
Really?
Well, we actually kind of carry the ocean in our blood.
Interesting.
Which is an interesting concept.
I've never heard that, yeah.
And as you can restore that, again, it's the homeostasis that we're talking about. And if we can keep a mineral balance like the ocean in its natural state in our bodies, then that is actually homeostasis for us. And one of the ways to help to achieve that is sea salt, real sea salt that's taken from the sea.
Mm-hmm. I know we have sold sea salt here. And
absolutely.
Where did that come from? Wasn't it in France? Or
yes, there was the Brittany off the Brittany coast. They called it Celtic sea salt. And that is some of the finest salt in the world. And Iceland produces quite a bit. So there are places that still produce sea salt. And sea salt is definitely the healthiest and the best type of salt to actually have.
Is there one better than another, or sea salt?
One of the best ones out there, the School of Cordon Bleu, only uses Celtic sea salt from the Brittany coast.
Okay, the ones we were talking about.
That's right.
All right. Well, let's talk about how you incorporate structure function medicine into heart disease. It was real interesting what you said about the kidneys and how the kidneys affect the heart. And we always talk about, you know, where you're not a heart, you know, we're not a separate organ. We are a whole system.
Everything has everything to do with other parts of the body. If you think about it, is the muscle that works the hardest. It never rests. You don't sit there and say, okay, heart, you know, take a 10-minute break, you're good.
And you can die within, right?
Yeah,
yeah, you don't want to even take a second break.
No. So the heart always has to work, and it's a hard, you know, so keeping it up is a very important thing. How if you're anemic, if you think about that, that's going to lower the oxygenation to the heart, and that will actually help to destroy some of the musculature in there. Other things that can be involved is the mineral balance. The heart is an electrical conducting. If the electrical conduction is off because of an imbalance in the minerals, then you have problems with the heart. The copper levels play a very big role of heart health. B vitamins, the balance on those are extremely important.
And why you're bringing this up is just in structure function medicine. The whole body is looked at.
The balance of everything. If you have liver problems, that can even affect the heart. There are a ton of things that can be involved with that. Hormones. If you have low testosterone, that weakens the heart. So, you know, as you look at everything in there that can be involved in that, as you can get healthier in each of those different ways, then it can make a big difference. So what we do in our structure function is we see, you know, what is the problem, determine that, and then find out what is the best way, the biggest bang for the buck, as you would like to say, on making a difference in that area.
Now, what do you do diagnostically then?
Well, we do all the normal types of heart tests. We will order anything that we need to from the hospital. Of course, we have an EKG on hand. We have some specialized types of tests where we actually measure cardiac function to make sure that that's actually working right. We have an instrument called a CardiAssess, which you do exercise. You can get a world of information on how well the heart's working.
Isn't that how well the heart's oxygenated?
Basically, what we're looking for is how well is the heart oxygenated, how well are we getting rid of the carbon dioxide, measuring those two, and then actually getting a good picture on what's going on with the heart. So very, very helpful. We do acoustic cardiograph, you know, that's basically looking at the valves. As you're analyzing the heart, what we're looking for is the major aspects of what's going on. What are the basics of the heart? First off, is the electrical current working correctly? So you have to determine that. Third, second is the valves. Third, I haven't
first
gone to the
third.
Second. Are the valves actually working correctly? And are we getting the oxygen exchange? Are we getting the full elimination of the blood, and how well is it pumping through the body? And we can check on the Dopplers with that. So as we can look at that, we can look at each of the different aspects of what's going on with the heart, how well it's oxygenated, how well it's got the electrical conduction. Are the valves working right? Are we getting the complete ejection as it should? So once we can get all those, see exactly what's going on, then what are the different ways that we can actually influence that? How can we get some healing into the heart? How can we regenerate it? How can we get it normalized so it's working at its optimum?
Interesting. So it's very important, the diagnostics. Now, is blood work involved also?
Blood work is involved. You have to see, you know, what's going on. There are definite indications in the blood work of heart disease. Of course, cholesterol is a great indicator on that, along with several other different types of tests.
Mm-hmm. You're looking at more than just cholesterol.
We are looking more than just at cholesterol. There are certain markers on that that can show up. And then even as you're looking at cholesterol, there are different levels of looking at cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
So as we can get in there and even get down to some of the fractions of the cholesterol, we can get a pretty good picture of what's actually going on in the heart.
Okay, when we come back, let's talk about some structure function treatments for heart disease. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather on Indiana's Voice of Freedom, Freedom 95. Well, welcome back to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather, and I'm Lisa Prather. We're talking today about heart disease, and I finally got a positive Forever Young song in there, because when your heart is healthy, you can live a long and...
Definitely, it's hard to live a long life without a good heart.
Without a good heart, right. I mean, we talked about that. You hear... Why does so many incidents happen and people don't even realize that they had heart issues? Do you know what I'm saying?
Certainly.
And they die on the tennis court or on the golf course.
And stress does play a big role on that. Matter of fact, you know, we had talked about magnesium with men, potassium usually with women. When people are under stress, they actually just eat up the minerals.
They're depleting their minerals and not even realizing.
And it can be a very quick type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a patient in this week that I didn't even realize, you know, how unhealthy I was. Mm-hmm. People just go on and don't even realize they could feel better, that this isn't norm, the way they feel.
And thorough tests, thorough diagnostics is absolutely key to providing the very best health that you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we base all of our care on good diagnostics and then make sure that we actually get that fixed.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know, you can't fix it.
Well, I'm sure people are anxious to hear about treatment, structure function treatment for heart disease. Let's talk about that. You talked about the diagnostics that are very important for heart disease. Let's talk about some structure function treatment.
Well, first off, you have to have the balance of the basic type of nutritionals. You know, you have to have enough B6, you have to have B12, you have to have folic acid, you have to have the vitamin C, and you have to have them in the right amount. And we can actually test those specifically and see exactly what's needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those types of things are very important. You can actually start to regenerate the heart.
You can regenerate the heart.
It's amazing. I've had patients in here with congestive heart failure with hearts twice the size that they actually should have.
Mm.
And in a 7-week course of treatment, there was a significant decrease in the size of the heart, which isn't supposed to be done very often.
Right.
Those things can be actually accomplished. So if you give the proper nutrients, if you give the oxygenation to the heart, it will actually regenerate quite well. One of the things that people are very aware of right now is cholesterol medicines actually deplete CoQ10, which is essential for oxygenation. So cholesterol actually damages, cholesterol-lowering medicine can oftentimes actually damage the heart tissue itself because of lowered oxygenation. So, you know, being aware of those types of things, measuring them, and making sure that you actually have the proper nutrients to actually get a healthy heart is extremely important.
And it's going to be different for every heart.
That's going to be different for every single person.
Right.
You know, on what is the major thing that's going on. One of the things that we find on people is that they just have an inflammation. A very common thing that people know of to take is aspirin. You know, aspirin is an anti-inflammatory. And
yeah, let's talk about aspirin.
Yeah, and inflammation is huge for the heart. So if we actually do blood tests for general body inflammation, And the higher the inflammation that people have actually going on, the more likely they are to have heart attacks and heart disease. Mm-hmm. So reducing that inflammation is important. Aspirin is one way to do that, but there are a lot of negative side effects, and there are more natural ways of actually doing it. So we have some bromelain is a very common type of thing that's used to actually reduce that. Yeah, it's actually taken from the tops of pineapples.
Oh.
So pineapples have a very good anti-inflammatory, and the part that we usually cut off and don't eat actually
has... We should be eating those.
You can't really hardly chew it. But they can extract that, put in a pill form, and then you can actually have it.
Mm-hmm.
What we give people is basically, when we give supplements, things like that,
right.
It's concentrated food.
Mm-hmm.
It's concentrated food that we know people aren't going to eat.
Right.
You know,
or it's hard to get in a natural form.
Yeah, it's hard to get, and also, how many pineapple tops would you have to eat to equal one little capsule of the bromelain? It's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. And how many, chews? You'd have to
chew. Yeah, chew. So, there are ways to actually do that. We have pancreatic enzymes are excellent for anti-inflammatory. And who wants to cook up a pancreas and eat it, you gave me a face right there.
Right. I haven't seen a pancreas.
Yeah, that's not something grandma made for you. But, and there are many other different types of natural anti-inflammatories that don't have actually better at reducing the inflammation, more long-lasting, actually can have a healing effect, and you can get a very good anti-inflammatory effect on that. So making sure that the inflammation is down is a very important part. Hormones, making sure your thyroid's working right. The thyroid is, if your thyroid goes low, that's one of the biggest reasons that cholesterol goes up.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people with terrible cholesterol levels and heart problems. And when we actually got their thyroid working right, then they could actually get their cholesterol normalized.
Mm-hmm.
And they got much, much better. So that's a very, very common type of thing on that.
So supplementation is a big part.
Supplementation is a very important part of that. Mm-hmm. Also, exercise is extremely important. If you look in the what actually helps with blood work, it actually makes if you actually look at the information on what actually helps with heart disease. Mm-hmm. Aerobic exercise is one of the ways that can really make a very, very big difference.
And that could be going out and walking, a light run.
Exactly. You don't want to get your breath up too high. There's a very big difference between anaerobic and aerobic, and if you start running too fast and you can't actually breathe as you're doing it, then you've gone into anaerobic.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to do aerobic exercise to actually be able to accomplish that.
And how much, how often and how much time do you need that to oxygenate your heart?
You need about an hour a day, about 5 days a week even a half an hour makes, even 15 minutes makes a big difference.
Right.
But ideally it would be about an hour a day,
mm-hmm.
5 days a week of brisk walking.
Mm-hmm.
Can actually provide the aerobic exercise that you need.
What if someone's out there and, you said your congestive heart people, have a hard time of even getting dressed in the morning.
Actually getting dressed in the morning. And there are, and it's surprising, even the little bit of exercise that you can do can actually make a very big difference.
Mm-hmm.
There are other ways to get that oxygenation up into the body. We have some specialized things. Matter of fact, we have a list of about 2,000 different products that we give for the heart that are excellent along those lines. One of the ones that is kind of a hidden gem is something called Cactus Grandiflorus. Mm. And it has a restorative effect on the heart that is almost miraculous. Matter of fact, it's a completely natural substance taken from a cactus, especially, that's the name of the cactus. And it is so good that they've actually made it into a, it's actually, you can only give it out as a pharmaceutical because of its effectiveness.
Wow.
And we have had some miraculous types of changes in people by giving that. So that is just one of the products out there. But the combinations of things that we have, many of the herbals and the homeopathics that we put together, a lot of them are actually made by German pharmaceuticals. The rest of the world actually utilizes a lot of these as a main source of their medicines instead of just pharmaceuticals. And the way that that pharmaceuticals actually differ from the structure function type of care is the pharmaceuticals are there to get the symptoms under control. And they do that very well, but they don't really provide healing. The things that only things that we use here for our care only will produce healing. In other words, they're not just symptom-based. If they need symptomatic care, we send out to the medical doctors. We send you out to a cardiologist. We work very closely with quite a few. And for us, what we always give are products that are going to provide a healing type of a care to the patient. And with that, we get more, it takes longer, but we have more permanent changes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. You want to heal the heart, and if it can regenerate.
And and people don't realize, but the heart is probably one of the organs that actually even regenerates best in the body.
Interesting. Well, Dr. Prather, we have about a minute left, and I want to make sure you communicate what you want to, you know, finish regarding heart disease.
Everyone needs to have a good, thorough exam, lab test, at least once a year. And anyone over 45 should have a thorough check at least once a year of their heart to make sure that that's healthy and working right. Those are just some of the basics, and if you can do that, you can actually get a lot of this under control prevent it from happening.
Right, so you can not have an achy, breaky heart.
No achy, breaky hearts here.
All right. Well, we're out of time. Thank you, Dr. Prather. The Prather Wellness Center is located at 8902 North Meridian Street, just south of 465 Loop. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
Heart, he might blow up and kill this man.